Matt. Appreciate that so much. And so good to be back in the wonderful state of North Carolina. See some familiar faces and friends. And always, always so good for me to see Brother Kenny Baldwin, be with him, my dear friend. And then, of course, Brother Jenkins. I tell young people, Brother Jenkins, when I was just a little bit over your age, Bible college, I heard his name as a young man. And to see him faithful all these years, I tell you, the longer I'm at it, the more I appreciate faithfulness, you know. Let's give Brother Jenkins a big hand. Just thank him for being faithful all these years. Praise the Lord for that. God is good. I echo what Brother Kenny said a while ago about having a good wife. That's my baby up there. And she's the prettiest grandma in the world right now. Me and her became grandparents a few months ago. And I love being a fat paw, man. It is awesome. And that's what I want my grandbabies to call me. But my daughter said, no, Daddy, they ain't going to be allowed to call you a fat paw. So I guess I'm pawpaw for now. But Brother Kenny, yesterday was our 30th anniversary of our first date. First date. He said, well, you make a big deal of that? Yeah, we still dating. We still go on weekly dates. I leave my phone at home or in the car, or I don't take it out on a date. I look at a restaurant. We sit at a restaurant, still looking at each other's eyes. And someone in my church in Missouri came up to me one time and said, what if someone dies while you're on your date? I said, they'll still be dead when I get back home. So, you know, date night's important. It's still a big deal for me and my wife. That's my baby. We'll be married 29 years this summer. And we have four children. My oldest girl, Briella, is 26. She's married to my assistant pastor that works with me in Arkansas. My second daughter, Rand, is married to a youth pastor in Pennsylvania. And my son, he's called to preach, and he's graduating from Bible college this May, and he'll be coming back to work with me in Arkansas. And then I've got a girl that's a senior in high school. She's not sure who she's going to marry yet. I said, you need to marry the millionaire. We got too many preachers in our family. And she said, Daddy, I want to marry a preacher that's a millionaire. I said, they don't exist. I said, I've volunteered many times. God, I'm willing to be that preacher that's a millionaire. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. It is true that I did come from a home of deaf parents and deaf grandparents, deaf great-grandparents. My sister's deaf. My aunts and uncles are all deaf. My cousins. I have deaf nieces and nephews. Five generations of deafness. So sometimes I break out in sonic. This is my native language. I was born into a home of deaf parents. I'm the firstborn, so ASL is my native language. So I just love sign language. And I tell you right now, there's a great move amongst the deaf. Man, they're getting saved. They're so hungry. And we're using social media to reach them. I'm very active on social media. I do a lot of sign language stuff on there. You can check it out. And I am what's called a CODA. That's what we're called, CODA, C-O-D-A. That means child of a deaf adult. And so I am a proud CODA. I've been blessed to be a CODA all my life and thankful for that. The deaf people are the third most unreached people group on the planet, but they're the number one most unreached people group in the United States of America. And they're just so hungry for the gospel now. So pray for them if you think about it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful language. So many neat things about sign language, man. You could talk with your mouth full. You know, me and my family talk in front of our church members. We don't talk behind their back. We can sign right in front of them. We can make fun of church members during church in front of them. They don't even know what you're saying. And it's an awesome language to know. And I praise the Lord for it. Listen, it is smart. Schedule the big boy before lunch and we'll be quick, right? So the big boy goes up right before lunch. We'll be like, let's go to Bibles in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Thank you so much, Brother Kenny. I love to hear Brother Kenny preach. He and I have preached together for many, many years. And I've gotten to go to his incredible church up there in the D.C. area. I go back up there again this summer. Looking forward to that. Love Brother Kenny. And I heard him preach before he got sick. I heard him preach after he got sick. And I'll tell you one thing I love about Brother Kenny. In both cases, he wants to make Jesus look good. And I appreciate that so much. Thank you, Brother Kenny, once again for doing that today. And how many of y'all fired up today? Amen. Come on now. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm glad I don't look like you. Amen. Yes. Yes. Let's go ahead and stand and stretch your legs real quickly one more time and get right into the message for today. I will not be long. I promise you that. And we're going to get right into the message. And praise the Lord. Man, I'm going to be distracted. Keep looking at that pretty thing up there. Not me. Trust me. I'm ugly. That's a whole lot of ugly next to that pretty thing. And she texts me all morning. Baby, I'm praying for you. I love you. Preach it. Rip it up. I love my wife. But Kenny, you're right, man. That lady right there you see, when we got married, knew no sign language, but she knew I had a passion for the deaf. She's fluent now. She's led people to Christ that are deaf. I just thank God, man. Hey, Brother Kenny, thanks for saying that. I echo that. Brother Jenkins, your wife, incredible lady. Just thank God for good. Amen. Praise God for that, man. Listen, a preacher told me many years ago, let Jesus choose your spouse. I thought, man, that's really practical, simple advice, and I'm glad I did. God is good. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says this. In the... All right, I say it again. In the what? End. Look at your neighbor and say, in the end. In the end. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it what? End. All right, so we have in the what? End. And then as it what?
the dawn toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Look at verse 2. I love this. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. Look at what the Bible says here. From the door and sat upon it. The angel just sat upon the stone. We'll get to that in just a second. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was, past tense, crucified. He is, present tense, not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. You may be seated. I want to get right in the message for today. Tomorrow is Palm Sunday, and I do want to just recognize something real quickly. I kind of took it as a visual when it comes to sign language. You know, Palm, next month I'll be going to the Bahamas. Brother Kenny's preaching the Bahamas before, I believe. And one of these days we're going to go together so we can snorkel and swim with sharks. I'm an avid snorkeler. He says he will not snorkel with me. But we're going to the Bahamas next month, and you see palm trees all over the place, palm branches. They took those palm branches and laid them out as Jesus rode across them. And I want you to think about something. The English language is kind of weird, right? There's a lot of words that are spelled the same, sound the same, but have different meanings. But why are you thinking about palm branches tomorrow? Why don't you think about something a little different? Why don't you think about the palms of Jesus? You ever thought about that? Those palms that rode into Jerusalem, those palms that touched people, those palms. And it's a beautiful, in sign language, the palm is so important for sign language. Like, for example, this is a sign for forgive. Isn't that a beautiful sign? Let's learn some sign language real quickly. Forgive, amen. That's forgiveness. Isn't that a beautiful sign? Please, look at that. Use your palm for that. Thank you, amen. Slap you upside the head. No, just kidding, all right? So, I mean, the palms got a lot of great signs, but think about how Jesus' palms would be pierced, and thank God, as Brother Kenny said, bring him to Jesus. And let me tell you something right now. Brother Kenny's message was so profound. Bring it to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And listen, he amplified it and got it even better on a different level because of the resurrection. 8 days, a week from tomorrow, we'll celebrate another Easter Sunday. And sometimes, we're funny about this in our churches, we'll do a whole month series on Christmas. All December, we'll talk about Christmas. We'll preach about the cross all year long. But for some reason, it seems like we only save the resurrection messages for that one Sunday a year. But listen to me. Without the resurrection, we don't have what we have today. The birth was important. Thank God for his meager beginnings and the prophecies being fulfilled in Bethlehem. Thank God that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of a virgin. Thank God for the crucifixion. We'll get that in a second. But listen, what separates Jesus from all the other religious leaders in the history of mankind ultimately is this simple thought, that there is an empty tomb in Israel today, and for 2,000 years, they've been looking for a body, and they haven't found it. Listen, just as present tense as you could say 2,000 years ago, he is risen. You can still say that today, and it makes perfect sense. He was crucified, but he is risen. But I want you to look at verse 1 again. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began. I don't think it's an accident that on purpose he says as the Sabbath came to an end. I feel like there's a little bit of an underlying teaching there, Brother Jenkins. He's almost teaching that, hey, all this obsession with the Sabbath and the law is about to come to an end because something new is about to begin. Every time the sun goes down at night, it's a reminder that there's a new day coming. And while one day comes to an end, another day begins. But the process of anything that begins, that means there has to have been an ending first. How many of y'all right now are in 10th grade right now? You're in 10th grade as of today. Like, you got to go to school Monday. All right. In just a few weeks, you're hoping that your 10th grade year ends so that your 11th grade year can. How many of y'all are juniors this year? You're an 11th grader right now. Raise your hand if you're an 11th grader. Oh, yeah. Next year's your senior year. But in order for you to be a senior, you got to let that junior year so it can be. Come on, help me now so it can begin, right? How many of you are seniors this year? Where are the seniors at? Go ahead and stand. Let's all look at the seniors here today. Look at the seniors here today. We got a few seniors in the house. Y'all, right now, these seniors, come on, give them a hand. Seniors are very frustrated. They get right now, I know y'all are getting tired of it. Everybody's asking, so what are you going to do after you graduate from high school? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life, right? You've been asked that question a lot. Hey, listen, seniors right now, they're going to end their school and they're going to begin a new chapter. They're going to graduate. There has to be some kind of an end for there to be a beginning. You may be seated. I grew up with 3 daughters and 1 son. I don't necessarily endorse all of Disney now, but I grew up in a house full of Barbie dolls, and I don't know why it is. Lord help us. Every time my daughter's got a new Barbie doll, the clothes came off and there's Barbie dolls naked. naked all over the place. I said, man, come on. We got to have some standards in this house. Keep those clothes on. And but anyway, my daughters love the princess movies, the Disney movies, and the Bible art. The movies always said the end, and then what they live happily ever. They couldn't live happily ever after until that saga or that drama came to an end. Listen, Jesus is teaching us something here that is a profound truth, and it's a truth that can apply to all of our lives. And so many times we miss out on what God is about to begin in your life because we won't let go to what he wanted to end. That applies to everybody. You see, in order for it to begin to dawn toward the first day of the week, the Sabbath had to come to an end. Let me tell you something, a few things that happened because of the resurrection. I was lost for 18 years. I was a public school kid. Where's my public school kids at? All right, man, you're my people, man. That's my people right there. Public school kid, born and raised. Well, I was born in a hospital, but grew a public school kid all my life. Never set foot in a Christian school until God led me to preach in one. Listen, born and raised public school all my life. I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know much about Jesus. I was lost, but now I'm found. Listen, I was lost. Thank God that came to an end. Here was my beginning, but now I'm found. I was blind. That came to an end, but now I see. That's my beginning. Can I say today, thank God, first of all, that my lost state, my blind state, my wicked state came to an end, and God saved my soul, and he gave me a new beginning. Bless the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? And look, we want to talk about make America godly again. Hey, we got to end the ungodliness so that the godliness can begin. We've got to end the unrighteousness so righteousness can begin. We've got to end the lack of faithfulness so that faithfulness can begin. There's a beautiful principle being taught right here in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that when Jesus rose from the dead, a whole lot of things came to an end. And thank God, a whole lot of things began. See, for 4,000 years, man was oppressed by sin. For 4,000 years, all they could do was have the Day of Atonement, which was really postponement. For 4,000 years, they could never really get satisfaction and justification because God's wrath was not satisfied. But something happened when he was crucified. Something happened when he resurrected. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and when that happened, he gave us justification. You see, what was one, at one time never had any justification, that came to an end. Now we have the beginning of justification. We are made a new creature now because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for some things that come to an end so that Jesus Christ could begin some things in our life? Number one, there's the lost state. That came to an end, but now we're saved. That's the beginning state. Number two, I want you to look at this one. I want you to look at the stone right here. Look with me in Matthew 28. I'm sitting here for a purpose because you'll see this again. Look at Matthew 28 and verse number 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And look what the Bible says about it, Brother Kenny. And he sat upon it. Now in Mark chapter 16, the Bible says the women actually had a conversation saying, who's going to roll the stone away for us? They had a big stone there, man. They wanted to go and anoint the body of Jesus, but there's a stone there. I know what some of y'all are thinking right now. Humpty, I look like Humpty Dumpty up here, don't I? With his bright right, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great... And all the king's men, all the king's horsemen could not put Humpty... Oh, there's that word again, right? And stay with me now. Stay with me. I watch this, okay? I don't think anything's done in the Bible by accident. You see, the problem with religion is it always puts a stone between us and Jesus. The problem with man-made philosophy and education, it always puts a stone between us and Jesus. But the problem between about these big stones is it kept us from getting to Jesus Christ. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he gave us something symbolic to look at now, saying, because he lives again, because he is risen, you can actually sit on top of that stone now. Amen. You see, at one time I had to carry the stone of sin. Now because of Jesus, I can sit upon it. Somebody help me right there. I used to have to carry the stones of burdens, the stones of my lost state, but now I can sit upon that stone. It's almost like the angel is up there chilling, having a good time. Hey, ladies, I know you're expecting death here, but I got good news for you. You ain't going to find no death right here. The tomb is empty, and I'm sitting upon the stone. Hey, Humpty Dumpty can fall down and do a somersault, hallelujah. And listen, he can break, and all the king's men can't put them together again. I'll tell you what, Jesus can. Jesus can take broken things and put them together again. Didn't the Bible say, is not this the carpenter's son? Isn't that amazing to think about how Jesus is called a carpenter? You know what carpenters do? They take broken pieces of useless wood, ugly pieces of wood, and make them into beautiful pulpits like this. You see, that ugly state, the ugly relationship we had with God, that brokenness that happened, that wickedness that we had, that stone that we were carrying, that stone that burdened us down, that stone that had us confused and lonely and lost, thank God now, because of Jesus Christ, we can sit upon that stone today. We have victory today. We have victory over those stones in our life. We have the blessings of knowing that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior and He lives today. He is risen today. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for the end and the beginning. Number one, the lost came to an end. The saved began. Number two, the stone came to an end. There's a beginning now where we can sit on top of it. Number three, I love this one. Crucifixion brought fear. Resurrection brought faith. I want you to look at verse number two again. It says here, verse three. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the woman, look at this statement right here. I love this. Fear not ye. Help me now. What does he say? Fear not ye. Look at your neighbor and say, fear not ye. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. You're looking for Jesus. But can you talk about going looking for Jesus? Which what? Was crucified. Was. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Listen, the crucifixion brought upon a very scary, fearful time in the history of mankind. There was a time when God's wrath, God's judgment, all had to be channeled into this one day. And listen to me, I'm scared to death of that day. I deserve to be on that cross. I deserve to burn in hell. I deserve to face God's wrath. I deserve the judgment of God. I deserve the condemnation, the damnation. I deserve eternal separation from God. I deserve those things. But on this day, Jesus took all those fears that I had and he put them upon his own back and he went to the cross. But thank God he knew that it was going to be a past tense event. And can I tell you something today? Thank God for the crucifixion. Thank God he shed his blood. Thank God for the broken body. Brother Kenny just said it a while ago. I deal with a lot of teenagers that cut themselves and I tell them regularly, listen, you don't got to cut yourselves. You ain't got to hurt yourselves. Jesus broke his body so you don't have to break your body. Jesus suffered so you don't have to suffer. He went through all that we go through in life. Listen, he always went a little further. Hey, however deep it gets in our lives, however tough it gets, he went a little further. You realize that? Hey, in one day he experienced the lowest of lows and 3 days later he experienced the highest of highs. In that spectrum of life, we'll never go as low as he did. We'll never go as high as he did, which means he relates to everything we go through in our lives. What a blessing to know that today. But the crucifixion brought fear. Even his disciples were hiding out. Even his disciples were scattered. Even his disciples were fearful. His disciples were hiding out and scrambling. And even Peter, he's struggling. And everybody's about to quit. And all of a sudden, they come and say, hey, he was crucified, but he is present tense risen. He is present tense not here. I've not been to Israel, Brother Kenny. You've been to Israel? I'm not either. Have you been to Israel? You've been? No, we haven't been to Israel. How many of y'all been? Anybody been here been to Israel? My son-in-law's been twice. You've been, my son-in-law said there's actually two tombs there because one the Catholics claim to be the tomb and the others they say is the real tomb. Can I tell you something I love about that? Ain't nobody in the history of mankind ever been buried in two places. You know what that means? If you can claim two tombs, that means ain't nobody in either one of those tombs. Let me tell you something right now. You have victory today. We have victory today over sin, death, hell, and the devil because of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Hallelujah. Today he was crucified. He is risen. Hey, I was fearful, but now I got some faith. Hallelujah. It's a real faith. It's a real faith. I'm talking about a real faith. I was sprinkled as a baby. That wasn't real faith. I don't even remember that. I just got wet. I was baptized 3 times growing up. Don't even really remember one of them. 2 of them I kind of remember. I got wet, walked out the back door. Everybody patted me on the back and said, hey, there's old Husky Randy. That's what they used to call big people back then, Husky. Remember Husky? This generation, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I used to have to buy Husky pants and Husky shirts. I want to bring back Husky, man. That's a good word. Some of y'all look at me, that big man. Don't worry about me. I shop in the men's section while some of y'all shop in the boys' section. Somebody say amen right there, okay. They say, he got baptized again, Randy. That's wonderful. Pat me on the back and say, that's awesome. Are you excited about that? I walked out the door with a smile on my face, Brother Kenny. Like, I guess so, but I was empty. I was a public high school kid. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, but I was a very successful football player, won multiple championships, was an all-state first team, coaches poll and Associated Press. Got letters from schools like Penn State University, Georgia Tech, Illinois, Vanderbilt, Tennessee. D1 schools were sending me letters. I was a 16, 17-year-old boy, lost. I remember getting by my bedside as a teenage boy and saying, God, there's got to be more to life than this. I had 2-3 boxes of letters from colleges all over America, from Division III, Division II, Division I, NCAA, NAIA, all those letters offering me scholarships. I'm looking at all those boxes, and I still felt empty. I said, dear God, there's got to be more to life than this. A few weeks after that, a buddy of mine invited me to a certain religion's, I'll just say, Jehovah's Witness service. I went one time and knew it wasn't real. A few weeks after that, man, somebody invited me to a Mormon service. Man. Wow, maybe this is answering my prayer. I went to that. I knew it wasn't real. I went one time. That's all I took. I knew it wasn't real. Then I had a teammate of mine invite me to a Holy Ghost crusade. I may have shared this story before, but it's worth sharing again. Holy Ghost crusade. I didn't know what that was. A Holy Ghost crusade. My brother and I went to that one together during the offseason. We sat right here in the front row, both of us, me and my brother. I was already the football star. My brother was an up-and-coming star. He ended up winning championships, too, became a successful football player, too. My brother Nick, who pastors in Texas, pastor said, the Dignan brothers are here. The whole town kind of knew who we were, newspaper articles, small town football players. Everybody knew him there. You guys want to meet the Holy Ghost? My brother and I looked at each other and said, sure, he sounds like a nice guy. I ain't even heard of the Holy Ghost. We came to the altar, and a 400-pound woman laid on top of us first to get the Holy Ghost. I was afraid of the Holy Ghost for a long time after that experience. I promise you that. After my brother and I got up from underneath that large woman, we walked back to the seats. Same thing, we were lost. We were just lost. But one day, one day, a pastor named Jim Klein, 5 feet, 4 inches tall, in a small old Union Hall building. He just started the church 6 months ago. 60 Latin, probably only 50 people were in the building. I was up there trying to interpret for my deaf mom and daddy, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost said, Randy, you need to get saved. You've been trusting in those baptisms, and I finally found out that all these things that I had feared could now become faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I got to get on my knees that day on the altar, and Jesus Christ became my Savior, and something came to an end so something could begin. Bless His holy name. I've been saved now for almost 32 years, and can I tell you something? I have failed Him time and time again. He's never failed me, hallelujah. And you know why He's never failed me? Because He is risen and He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Number one, the loss came to an end so that the salvation could begin. The stone came to an end so we could sit up top of it. That began. Crucifixion and fear came to an end so that the resurrection and faith could begin. Finally, number four, I want you to notice something that's kind of neat in this passage. And I'll close because it's time to go eat. Look at verse number 8. I'm sorry, it's verse number 7. And go quickly and tell his, what's the next word? Now, later in the chapter, Jesus is going to say, go tell the whole world. Go therefore and teach to all nations. But in this passage, it says, go and tell who? Go and tell who? His disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him, for lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre and feared with great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Now watch this. Listen very carefully to this. We got to tell the gospel to this world. No doubt. We got to witness. We got to take the gospel to the world. My wife and my daughter right now are helping a church plant in Arkadelphia, Missouri, right now, or Arkansas right now. And they're taking pamphlets and passing them out for Easter Sunday. That's where my wife and daughter are right now as we speak. We got to go to the world. But notice first, though, he says, tell the disciples. Maybe sometimes we forget to tell each other. So that'll motivate us to go tell the lost. You know what Christians do instead? We tell each other about what so-and-so is doing wrong. We tell each other, we criticize each other too much. Christians love to criticize other Christians. You know what? Next time you get around a Christian that might get on your nerves, just tell him that he is risen. Just tell him he is risen. Hey, can I tell you something right now? Sometimes when you feel like you're down and out and you're struggling through life and you're pushing through, can I tell you some good news? Hey, nothing will ever encourage you like these three words. Ready? He is risen. And sometimes we got to be telling our brothers and sisters that to encourage each other. Hey, he is risen. Are you discouraged today? He is risen. Are you going through a tough time today? He is risen. Are you fearful of your future and uncertainty? He is risen. Hey, I know life is tough. It's not always easy, but I've got good news for you today. No matter what you go through in this life, from one disciple to another, may I remind you, he is risen. Praise God. And you get excited about that and say, okay, now I'll go tell the world. Now I'll change my lifestyle. Now I'll change. I'll quit looking at what I'm looking at. Quit listening to what I'm listening to. Brother Kenny said a while ago, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to make America God again. You know how you make America God? I got to get godly again. Amen. I got to realize he is risen. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I mean, I gotta put an end to what I was and let him begin who he wants me to be. I love what Brother Kenny said a little while ago too about this. You ain't gonna come to hear me and him. You didn't come to hear Brother Jenkins. You came to hear Jesus today. And listen, when you go back to your home church, and you should be in church tomorrow. You ought to be in Sunday school tomorrow. And you ought to sit in church. And it don't matter who stands up and preaches. As long as they open the Word of God and preach the Word of God, hear from Jesus. Because he's the one that is risen. I'm going to die someday. Brother Kenny almost died. Thank God he's still alive. We all going to die someday. But he took death and he defeated it and he won the victory. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15 says, you know what that means? I can stare death in the face today and do this. You ready? Na 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 na. He is risen today. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Today, young person, it's time to end some things. So God can begin some things. Where are you at? Where are you at in this? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thanks for listening so well.